What you texting over there, Ben Mintz? You sexting?
No.
What's a Ben Mintz sext sound like?
Sound like?
I was laughing. I mean, that last chick was sending me.
Sup, cunts?
No comment.
God, I want to read a Ben Mintz sext so bad. Or I want you to read it in your voice.
No chance. I'm not Dave.
Well, you know who is going to be sexting now?
Is this a
segue?
With
his fiance.
Ugh. I don't like that segue at all.
I don't mean
it. Yuck. It's funny when we talk about Mintz sexting in his voice. It's gross when you talk about Jake and his fiance.
Yeah, we're gonna do.
Do you sext your wife?
I was trying to get back to...
When you're married with a kid, do you still sext?
You need to date while you're married, yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, that's keep highly it, recommended.
Do you like keep it spicy
Love
when you're
that.
At work?
It's good advice, Smitty.
I wouldn't say spicy is the word. When we're all on 3 hours of sleep at night. But.
I'm going to take care of that kid so hard when I get home.
I love my wife.
Going to pop on Jeopardy.
That actually sounds like a dream.
Yeah.
Sounds lovely.
All right. How are you, Jake?
Good. I'm back.
You lost.
I'm a loser.
Yeah.
Jake, loser. The only host of Cracking Aces, by the way.
According to Norm Chad. That was very funny.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that.
These ricochet shots were just mostly towards
Well,
towards
the Norman Chad one, I appreciated because he did say the name of the podcast.
I haven't heard that one.
If I knew how to pipe it in, I would. But basically, it was him and Jamie in the booth, and you were on the second featured table.
Yep.
And Norman Chad was reading your bio, I suppose. Did you write down like a bio or something?
Yeah. In like 3 minutes.
Okay, so Norman Chad goes, this is Jake Toole. He's one of the co-hosts.
I didn't write that, though, on the sheet.
Okay. So this was... Oh, I like that even more. So yeah. Norman Chad is a big fan. Shout out Norman.
Yeah, biggest Barstool fan in the game.
So he
Good
goes...
for him for bringing it up on his own.
He goes, Jake Toole is the co-host of Cracking Aces podcast, and then Jamie, obviously our friend, and knows... like the dynamic between us and Norman goes, who's the other host, Norm? And he goes, I don't know. I don't listen. And like it was like the way like she lobbed it up for him.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was very
that's,
funny.
That's yeah. great.
So I think
good job, Jamie.
He
played with Jamie on day one, by the way.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, you were there.
She was down to five bigs and then she doubled.
Yep.
It was great.
Yep. Entertaining day
no,
one.
No, Ben. We're going to have to get you the shot caller for breathing into the mic. Would you like to issue an apology for your breathing?
Yes,
that?
I would. I was in Smitty posted the pic of me laxed out. I was just like sprawled out. I like all but ruined the first 5 minutes of the podcast. And a
shout
lot of
out
people,
3Chi.
Yeah, shout out 3Chi, but I apologize. Yes, I love our listeners and Cracking Cases listeners. And the last thing I'd want to listen to at home is me breathing heavily into a mic after I do very marginally in the World Series main. So apologies and appreciate y'all bearing with us.
You did second best.
Yeah.
That's one way of putting it.
The bar is so low.
Yeah. Smitty said it best, though. If you don't get out of... I mean, whether you bust early day two or late day two, it doesn't.
Still day
I mean,
two.
Yeah, it's still day two. I mean, half the field's left beginning of day three.
Yeah, you're right.
So, but the one man who did do well, Jake, congratulations. Fourth main event cash in a row?
Yep.
That is... that's not... That's a serious stat.
Yeah, I mean... I don't really know what to say. I mean, I went my first 5 main events without cashing, so it's nice to have cashed, I think, 5 in the last 6. And, you know, I ran good.
This is your second best finish, right? 34th
second
is your best,
finish,
and 67th is your second?
Yeah,
so what was your highest chip count in relation to the field?
Well, on dinner break of day 5, I had 4 million.
So that was
my peak.
Average is about 2.5
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, it was maybe 2.5.
But we saw you
higher.
Were like 17th in the field remaining,
something like that.
Maybe
like that.
I'm not sure. That was probably with like 160 people left or so.
And was there any point when you were playing, you were left, you're like, oh, I know you made a deep run before, but we were like, okay.
Yeah, what was fine. The?
No, there wasn't. No. I didn't get the same feeling that I got in 2015. That the reason being is there's just on day 6 in 2015, I was at the main feature table all day, and when there's literally 3 other tables left in the whole tournament, that's when it really sets in.
And you can see the tables,
yeah,
presumably.
Like I you know, when there's obviously when there's the final three tables, they're all the feature tables. Yeah. So like having three of the four with just one outer table and three main feature tables be all that's left in the entire tournament.
Just sit and go.
It really hits you.
Pressure-wise or just like, oh my God, this is happening?
Not pressure-wise, just like we are like down in like, the thick of this.
Like I'm that guy yeah. who's now in this position. Yeah.
And I still like, I felt on day six this year, like I could feel it, but it was also like, it was very quiet. There was maybe one other tournament in the Amazon room. You know, the tables are spread out in the main, so you're not like, you know, you're not crowded next to another table. So you feel like it's a little eerie how quiet it is, because it just tends to be a very intense.
I saw a tweet from, I think it was Remco, who was like, we're at the part, it was about with, you know, 75, 80 left. He's like, we're at the part of the tournament when everybody's being chummy and, you know, becoming friends because, you know, you've played with each other all day, 6 days. And I was like, there's no way Jake's being like laughing and joking around. And I was like, I think I would be the complete opposite in that situation. Everybody's laughing and stuff. I think like you go into assassin mode and like.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't in assassin mode because I had no chips on day six. But you're right. I was not being chummy. I was being very friendly on the table I ended up busting at. Maybe just because of the nature of the table, I'd played with like one or two of the guys before. There was like a young French kid, I think, who maybe got top 18 to my right. Everyone was just really friendly. And I certainly wasn't like resigned to my fate. I was trying my best to survive. But I mean, I literally had 5.5 blinds when I got to that table, and then I doubled up. And then, you know, the blinds went up, and then I had 10 blinds. And I did kind of feel like I had done really well to get the 2-pay jumps that day from the start of the day. Or maybe it was 3-pay jumps. No, I think it was 2. And so I felt very, very good about how I had laddered. And
you did what you could. You couldn't really
I did what I could, yeah. I feel like I made one mistake, and it happened to be on the feature table. But other than that,
do you want to talk about that hand?
Well, sure. I mean, so, it's pretty quick. You know, I had just doubled up. I think I had 1.2 million, maybe a little bit more. No, I think it was 1.2. Chance opens the button. I defend 6-3 of spades. Pretty standard. He min raised. He was getting very out of line.
Yes.
Not that my like preflop decision ever is anything other than calling. I'm certainly never folding. I'm obviously never shoving.
And if it was the 4-3 of spades, you would have 3-bet.
But I would have just gone all in. Yeah.
Right, but it was the 6. So you
3-bet to 5-bet. Sure.
You have to.
My mistake was my flop play. Comes Jack-Jack-6, 2 hearts. He bets. He bet a little less than a third, which is actually, I mean, I'm not going to say it's big sizing, but I thought that he would go a little, even a little bit smaller, closer to 20%. But I just think that I ended up calling. I was a little too focused on the fact that I like probably won't raise a jack because of the fact that he's just going to have so much garbage. But like a 6 actually needs quite a bit of protection. And he just has like so many like snap folds that it doesn't even matter if I'm maybe a little imbalanced. And I also like, I don't know, whatever. I check called Jack-Jack-6, 2 hearts, turn was the ace of hearts. Obviously not a good card. He continues for a quarter pot again, which is a good sizing. I mean, when you're that shallow, like he really doesn't need to, bet very big with anything. But it's kind of like once he bets that, I really cannot get to the turn with a worse hand. And so, like, I'm pretty happy to fold the absolute bottom of my range. The problem is that I really don't have many aces, and I really don't have very many flush draws.
You shove pre with all your stronger hands.
Yeah, like I just can't really have an ace.
How many bigs did you have, by the way?
I think 12 to start.
And you defend 6-4 spades with 12. 6-3, sorry. And then call his flop bet.
So yeah. What's the right play?
I might
flop.
Still be over. Like,
do you check
I still might be.
Onset?
I would say.
It's just an easy check raise, a very small check raise.
On the flop.
On the flop, yeah.
I was watching the stream, and that's what I was wondering if that's what you were thinking. I mean,
that's just the play. Yeah. It's and then just to clearly mix in some, like, choose some jacks that don't really interact with turn barrels or hearts, because we obviously want him to shove flush draws, and remove the hands that have some barrels. But I mean, it really doesn't matter, because he'd had like 8-4 off. Like, it's actually like quite a disrespectful open. But I mean, that's just how
with you in the big blind.
So. Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it was with 73 left, and there's 70. Like, there's a pay jump at 72, so he's certainly aware of that.
Yeah,
but like, I'm also not gonna make any tight folds. Like, sure, I want to make the ladder, and I'll do what I can. But
you're playing to win.
I'm not gonna like make any egregious
turns there do you continue with? So, like, that's the thing is,
I mean, I can keep check calling, and I probably, honestly, like, as played, I probably should have just check called, but I just, like, was so focused on the fact that I really...
I'm gonna interrupt you again. Do you check call because you assume river's gonna go check, or...
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I don't assume that, but it's... when I check call two streets on jack six ace three with three hearts, it's not impossible for me to have something like king of hearts 10, but that's about it. Maybe king of hearts 9. But like,
does he also, like, on whatever river put you all in?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't know, and he might not, because he should be, like, quite afraid of... It's not like it's like king jack or jack queen or something like that, where it's hard for me to have a full house, and still hard to have full houses in general because I don't have sixes. But like, I can very easily have something like jack six. Like, I have all these, like, suited jacks, mm-hmm. That don't shove. So I don't know. I don't even know if he had a heart in his hand. But
I don't believe it.
So yeah, what do you,
doesn't matter.
What do you do? You check. You check raise and on the flop, and what happens if he comes over the top there?
Would
you
have, if he just rips it?
Yeah.
I would probably call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to check raise to fold, and
because he can very easily have, you know, eights there.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure. And it makes a lot more sense to shove sevens through tens than it does to shove a jack.
Yeah. Or even aces.
or even aces, yeah. No, 100%. So I think those would all be reasonable, but it would not be to check fold. But I also think it's, like, kind of a cool spot to have some bluffs too. You really, off those short stacks, you can do some creative things with some small check raises.
So you
had, but that's it. I mean, that's really, you know, I would say it's a medium to small mistake. And I really just tried to survive the rest of the day.
So what's the hand that got you up to 4 million, and then what's the hand that got you back
down? So I was going
to
say,
how do you want to do this? Do you want to start
from the beginning and move on?
And I don't have to go through every big hand that,
like,
I played.
What you bagged each day.
Day one, 100, 200.
Yeah, first hand.
seriously, like, don't listen. Okay.
Why don't we do this? Why don't I'll say what I... ended day one with, or each day with, sure, and then any, like, notable hands.
Yeah,
go
okay,
through.
Perfect. Yeah,
day one, really, not anything crazy. The table wasn't great. It was okay.
Did you flop a king queen straight?
That was day two.
That was day two.
Yeah, gotcha. That was day two. Started day two. Ended day one with, what was it? 110?
It was solid. Yeah, you started
with 60, ended with 110. Day two was pretty smooth. You're right, Smitty, I did flop a straight early on, defending king queen versus an early position open, came ace jack 10, and I got a pretty sweet river check raise in that got called by ace king.
But I saw you on the break after that, and it was like they bet like 4,500, and you made it like 26. I mean, you made like a monster check raise and got an ace or some kind of two pair.
Early position opened. I think it was 1K big blind at 2,200. I defend, flop a straight, check call. Can mix in some check raises. I think it was ace jack 10 two diamonds. I had the queen of diamonds, so probably more likely to check raise without a diamond. Turn was a 9, check. River was a 4, check. He bets 3,600 into like 95 or so. And I went for like the 1.25x check raise, got called by ace king. Yeah, I mean, day two was pretty swingy. I built up a nice stack. I was running well. I was really just like making some good hands and some bigger pots and people just, I don't know, I must not have a believable face because nobody was folding to me. And yeah, I think I ended day two with 240 or 250. Mm-hmm. Going into day three, started off great, awesome table. Got up to like 340 pretty quickly. Then, I mean, maybe like the grossest spot I could possibly be in came up when I ran the second nut flush into the nut flush versus it's just so funny. Like after I had doubled him up, I was questioning whether I should have even called river, but I mean, I'll just say the hand. I think it was 3K big blind, and this guy has been he's like an older guy, but he had a bunch of chips earlier, lost some back, and he was playing very, very loose. So he opens from middle position. I defend king seven of clubs in the big blind. Comes 10-9-8, two clubs.
Jeez.
No. 10-9-7, sorry, king eight of clubs. I checked, he bet half pot. I can definitely go both ways. He had kind of a weird stack where it like definitely sucks to get shoved on. But whatever. I decided to check call. Turn was the deuce of club, or no, the four of clubs. Check, check. River's a queen, offsuit queen. Check. There's 30K in the pot, or maybe a little bit more, 32. He bets 30 with 152 total.
Hmm.
I made it 88.
Oh, he shoves.
And he shoves.
Oh god.
Yeah. I mean, I took forever. It's pretty gross. Like, you know, if this is day one, day two, it's probably an easy fold. The queen and the 10 weren't clubs.
Yeah, you could very easily have a queen high or jack high flush.
Yeah, but he can only have you're right, but like think about the flushes that he can have when I have specifically the king and the eight. So like his non ace high flushes are jack ten of clubs, mm-hmm. queen jack of clubs, queen ten of clubs. Unless he's open from like early middle,
he
so he
have
does
five, four clubs or something.
He can, yeah.
Or
that's
he would just
that's
call the check raise,
that's
probably.
The thing. He can have like yeah. he can have some smaller flushes, but it's very unlikely that those go
shove.
All in.
Yeah, he's probably
so like when I think of it's not impossible because based on like how he played the rest of the day he was like he was just like an animal. I mean, he was,
what did he have that hand?
He had ace deuce of clubs.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, granted I'm an amateur, which I'm assuming this gentleman is, if I'm in his position with 5-4 clubs or any clubs, I'm thinking I have the best hand.
It's yeah, 100%. It's very possible that
the other thing though, would he check back the turn with 5-4 clubs with a baby flush? Because he'd probably want to bet.
Also call. Also, somewhat possible. Any of those things are possible.
Also,
I really don't know.
Like maybe he was ready to check shove on the turn.
He was and I didn't have like, based on like the rest of the day playing with him, and he didn't even make it past like I don't think another 3 hours. He had 400K after this hand. It's just an easy.
I love
it's,
this guy.
It's an easy call because he was like a nut job. He three bet called it off for 180K at 4K with king jack off.
Yes, you texted me about that. Yeah, you texted me about that.
So yeah, you know, he was a wild card. There's a difference between being a wild card and then three bet bluffing the river or three bet shoving the river with non-nutted hands, but who knows, whatever. I still had 150K after that. It was swingy. I mean, it was swingy. I did end up getting a nice double, which I texted you guys where I made the second nut flush with king queen of clubs and the guy a two pair, and you know, he was quite
snap called your shove.
He was just quite a weak play. He was the table was like very weak. For the most part, there were a couple like solid guys, but he was he was just like a total wild card. Actually, I found out it's like this huge crypto guy, BitBoy Crypto. He has like 800K followers or something. Yeah. But Yep. So I got the double, and then the rest of the day was pretty smooth. And, you know, we reached the money. The bubble lasted a while. It was like a
bubble.
14-hour
so y'all played past midnight. Yeah, y'all played past midnight.
Oh, we played till two. Yeah. And you know, bubble burst ended with 700K, which I was happy with. And then, you know, you play the next day, day four.
Were you being aggressive on the bubble? Were you taking advantage, or were you just playing cards?
I was, but there was, I was a little handicapped. Like, there was some, there were some, like, good players at the table who just, you know, aren't going to care with some bigger stacks. So I was able to chip up. I think I came with from that table, or came to that table with, like, 600-ish and maybe peaked at, like, 750, Yeah, it was solid. It's really like, yeah, you want to like abuse the bubble to a degree without spewing too much.
Did they give y'all, so y'all played a 14-hour day. What time did y'all have to start back day four? Did they give y'all any more sleep?
Yeah, they pushed it to noon. And then from there on, every day started at 11. They pushed that to noon. And then every day started at noon after that.
When, is this when you started feeling the effects of these long 12-hour grinds?
I think day four was the most brutal day because of how long day three was. Mm. I mean, I was, by the end of day four, I was just
chicken fingers
fucking exhausted. Yeah, the chicken fingers were not, they weren't lasting
energy-wise. Do you see it in other people's faces as well?
Oh, everyone's exhausted, yeah. I mean, absolutely just beat.
And you're you know, you keep yourself in shape, you eat moderately healthy, like
No, it's just it's a grind. It's there's no other way around it. It doesn't matter. It really, I'm sure people felt the effects more than I did, and
I'm sure older people especially.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's crazy.
So you hit day four with 700 in the money.
Yep. Day four got off to a dream start. I got up to like 1.7 million pretty quickly within like the first two levels.
Anything of note? Just raising, making hands, betting, value, etc.
Quote unquote cooler to guy, but not really. Blind on blind at I think it was at 8K big blind. So it was the first level of the day. And no, that's not right. It was 10K big blind. So he completes the small blind. I check 10-8 off, pretty standard. He has like a little under 500. I actually think, no, this was 8K big blind. He bets, sorry, it doesn't matter, but I'd like to be right about that. Flop comes king 9-6, two hearts. I have the 10 of hearts. King of hearts is out there, which is always important. He bets 10K into 24, call, turn 7.
Oh, baby.
That's a good turn.
Good turn. He bets 85 into 44.
Do you come yourself?
No, I play my hand.
Oh, okay.
Call, river jack. He blocks for 80 or 85.
When you call that massive turn bet, that doesn't alarm him of anything?
Well, you don't know what his hand is.
I don't.
River jack. He bets 85 with like 300 back. I shove. He tank calls king nine. I mean, his turnover bet is not very good.
King nine, so it wasn't even two pair.
Top two pair. Yeah, okay. King 9-6, 7-jack.
I never see like that when you peel those gutters. They never see it coming.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if you just think about like the basic information that I've given him, I've checked the big blind, I've called a bet on King 9-7, and I've called a base
9-6, though, right?
Yeah, whatever. King 9-6. And I've called a 2x pot bet on a 7 turn.
Really calling that with a 3-outer, you puss?
Well, so he actually really doesn't want to have a 9 in his hand. That's actually like probably the worst card for him to have, because if you think about some of the hands that turn into bluffs on the river, 10-9, 9-8, maybe something like 9-5. A lot of my bluffs have a 9, and he has one, which is just not very good for him. I have very clearly have all the 8-5s, all the 10-8s, queen-10, probably not, but still like 32 combos of straights, and like maybe even some probably not, but maybe even some pocket sixes. It's not impossible. I usually ISO those hands, but it's done with a, you know, a frequency. So,
I have a quick
the
question.
Call, like calling with King 7 is much better than King 9.
My question to you is, so he hung himself because he tried to bait you on the flop. He bet 40% of the pot, 10 under 24. If he bet, like, what's the number where you're not peeling the gutter there?
No number.
Because your pot odds are so deep. If he fires 18 into 24, you're peeling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just asking.
Yep. What if he goes all in?
Then I would fold.
All right, Smitty. No, but you're sitting so deep. You're in position.
Realistically, yeah. I mean, if you bet 50K, I would fold, but, like, he would never bet 50K, so it's not even, you know, it doesn't matter.
And he got angry at you for calling that 10K?
No, he wasn't angry.
Oh, I thought you said. I thought you insinuated like it was a cooler job.
No, I quoted cooler because it's not actually a cooler. It's just him overplaying his hand and going broke with it.
Yeah, but I was assuming
in a limp pot.
No, he wasn't pissed. Yeah, there's a limp pot. I mean, incentivizes me to maybe start to bluff a little bit when he bets 85 and a 44. But like, I mean, he didn't flip his hand over, but with no information, I'm tending to believe him more than I'm not believing him specifically on a seven turn. So that like shot me up to 1.7. I end up doubling up a short stack, and the rest of the day was actually kind of boring. Minus the last hand that I played at the end of the night, and I was one card away from being out. But I really was card dead for the rest
of
the day.
Was that the ace 10 kings?
No, that was queens versus ace jack.
Oh yeah, yeah, and the four flush.
Yep.
So the flop comes.
So yeah, we're at the end of day four. It's actually been like incredibly brutal, but I was proud of how I was handling the like not getting any good spots or any, you know, really very many good opening hands. I was kind of just chipping down the whole day after hitting my peak. And
I feel like every time you say something like that, it's just like a shot at me. Like, I didn't play bad. Like, look up at me.
No. I could have pulled an Eric Nathan and tried to force the action. No, I'm kidding.
There we go. Yeah,
there it is. I think I had like 900K at this point, and this Ramon Kalilis guy who is kind of just like ridiculous. I don't know. Like some of these Euros just play out of their minds, and some are very, very good. And others are just kind of, you know, throwing shit at the wall. But
and what is he?
What is he? Mm-hmm. Where's he from?
No. Don't can't say what is he and where is he from. No. Is he a good player? Or is he just throw shit at the wall?
I couldn't tell. It looked like he was a little like button clicky, but he for sure had a decent idea of what he was doing, but then he like does what he did versus me, and it just seems a little spewy. But I don't know, can't
so
be that bad.
What was his hand?
It was 10K, 20K. There's literally like 10 minutes and 15 seconds left in the day, so they call, they pull, they draw for a number of hands at 10 minutes. And I 3-bet his middle position open, or like his under the gun, yeah, his middle position open, from 40K to 130 with queens, and he rips it all in with ace jack off. He has ace jack with the jack of clubs. It comes ace high, like ace 5-4, two clubs. Guy was like being kind of friendly with in the two seat. He like points at the turn and says like club it. Turns like the seven of clubs. I get up.
That's such an old school thing to do there.
I needed it. And the river's like the nine of clubs or something, and I sit back down, and
did you get a little fist pump in or something?
No, I gave the guy a fist pump because he was like
the guy who asked the club on the turn.
Yeah, I was like, thanks, man. I really needed that one. I was like, after you said that, I had to stand up to try to get the ultimate sweat and power out of the juju.
So there was no tanking from you at all there? There was no, okay, he might have aces or kings?
No.
No.
Just let's go?
No.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I'm asking.
Absolutely.
I'm a fucking
not.
Loser.
Absolutely not.
You're not a loser.
And yeah, so that was
for him to 3-bet call, he's jack off.
He didn't. I mean, he 4-bet shoved.
Oh, my bad.
And that was because maybe...
Yeah, you made it 130. You went 40 to 130, and then he just bombed.
He just bombed.
Do you think that's
45
late in the day tiredness from him? Or
no,
late,
he had like 6
or,
million chips or something.
Oh, yeah. I would say, or late in the day.
You had like 700 like, more.
I had 900K.
It wasn't like a pressure thing, like, oh, you better fold because we 10 minutes left in the day.
Yeah, or, and it is like a pretty hard hand to play. Like, you from those positions, you definitely don't call. But it's a lot to shove, and it's kind of an awkward stack to 4-bet fold to. Like, what's he going to do? Make it, I guess he could make it like something really small, like 310 or something, and fold, which is kind of reasonable. But I was very happy after the, although I will say, and this is going to sound extremely annoying and whiny, but I got so unlucky at the end of that night. Listen to this. This is crazy, actually. Just like, the probability of this happening
the
is...
The title of the podcast can be Jake Got Unlucky in the main event.
So, all right. So, they draw for hands. There's three more hands. I'm due to play the last hand under the gun. So, I will not be dealt in the big blind. This woman to my right opens under the gun. Very last hand. Button 3-bets. Small blind. Cold 4-bet shoves. She calls it off. No, sorry. This is the second to last hand. Excuse me. She calls it off, button folds. She shows pocket sixes.
What?
Small blind is queens, queens hold. So the next hand is the last hand. So she is supposed to be in the big blind.
Mm.
And now I have to be dealt in the big blind. And whatever, like I folded my big blind. I think I had some horrible hand. But like she had to call off. She had like 700K or something. And she had to call it off. Are you videotaping me?
Yeah.
Oh. She had to call it off and then bust. And she happened to call it off with sixes for like 35 bigs. And then I had to post my big blind. It's brutal. Think about that. It's brutal.
It's not fair.
It's brutal.
It's just not fair.
I'm devastated for you.
Yeah, thank you. I just
tell some story where you got stuck in the big blind. With
no,
some,
but think about
end
that.
End up playing some hand where you get stacked.
She has to bust. And she happens to just call it off with sixes in a cold 4-bet pot.
It's a shame.
People have ace king a lot there.
Unreal.
It's hard to make a pair.
Yeah. So you know that was my day 4.
You had to feel great though with that queens double up at the end.
Yeah.
Just after having a rough day. I mean, that had to feel amazing.
I did. Yeah. That was like it was really the only like adrenaline rush that I got in the entire tournament was on that river.
What were you?
That's
thinking?
Not true.
What
actually.
Were you thinking when that ace spiked though? You're just like, oh, mother, I'm like, fuck this.
I'm like, yeah, like, honestly, I was like, fuck this. Like, this is how I'm going to bust this thing. I was like.
You're like, you just came out
here
for
so,
a week.
I was
like,
so yeah. tired, and it was the end of a, I was just like, so, I was like, I had a hangover from how long day 3 was. And I was just so exhausted. And it's just about survival, and the fact that, like, I was very likely to not survive was rough. But, you know. Whatever, made it through.
So, Jake, question. At the end of the night, how do you bring yourself back down? Like, all the rush of the hands, you know, you win that massive one at the end of the day. How do you bring yourself back down to reality?
There's only one way.
What's that?
A 3-chi gummy.
Oh, my God. I knew you were going to say that. 3-chi, as you know, Ben Mintz, is my favorite thing in the entire world. It's 3chi.com, and it's your one-stop shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. If you use code ACES at checkout, you receive 5% off your order. What is 3-chi? It is Delta 8. It's a federally legal version of THC, and it's a more functional alternative to marijuana. It's not CBD. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. That's why I use it all the time. I have a ton of anxiety and a ton of paranoia. I wonder, you know, if I'm going to get fired every single day. I don't know why I think about that. I've been here for 10 years. I still think about it. I take a 3-chi. I relax. My mind is clear. I get my mind right, Ben Mintz. You use it as well.
Oh, yeah.
You
love
breathe
it.
Heavy into a microphone when you're on it.
Yep.
You are just in.
It makes me relax too much.
It makes me feel like you're floating on a bed of clouds.
Yeah.
When
well,
you
and
take
you know
it.
How intense I usually am
oh,
with energy.
Yeah.
That's how relaxing 3-chi is. It even makes my crazy ass calm down.
And that, you know what? We should just use that as the only ad that we need. They now have Delta 8 root beer taffies, Delta 8 candy, and disposable vapes. I've recently gotten into the vapes. They put me to sleep. If, you know, I just take a few hits at night, I lay down, I watch The Office, I'm laughing at jokes, and then immediately my head just falls off my head and I fall asleep. The root beer candies are available in packs of 6, 50, and 80. Delta 8 balls are available in packs of 5 and 25. The 8 balls are, what's it called, a milligram? 8 milligrams. It's the perfect serving size. Cannot recommend that more. The vapes are ready to go right out of the box. They have 10 strains. I've been doing the pancake one. Highly recommend it. Again, if you go to 3chi.com, shop for all your Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. Use code ACES. I swear by it. You get a discount at checkout. Get the brownie as well. The thing about the brownie is it tastes so good that it's hard to limit yourself to like a reasonable size. Be responsible with it. You know, I do. It's 50 milligrams, the brownie. I eat it during the course of a week. Take a little nibble here, a little nibble there. It brings me back down to reality. I'm also about to get heavy in the lab so I can get better at poker and not bluff off 100 big blinds in the main event on day one.
Hell yeah.
Maybe if I actually had a 3-chi at that table, I would have folded instead of 4-bet and then jammed with a fucking 4-high flush draw. And a pair, by the way. You assholes at Poker News who miss represented my hand. I had a pair, you motherfuckers. So that is 3-chi. I don't promote anything that I don't use. What up, Jack Mack? Just doing an ad read. Be out in a second. 3chi.com. Code ACES. Ben Mintz uses it. The 67th place finisher in the 2020 WCP main event uses it. 2021 main event uses it. I use it. The world uses it. Do it.
Do it.
So you go into day five now with a little momentum.
Yep. Day five was probably like the swingiest day of live poker I've played maybe ever. I really don't know. And the table was just brutal. Brutal table. Like looking around and seeing these other table draws, it was like it was a joke. There were...
What notables were there?
David Coleman was there. Probably no one like extremely notable. That Jareth East. Yeah, I mean, everyone was just sharp. Jareth East, the British kid who final tabled. Sean Ragazzini, the Australian guy who I think final two tabled. Just really sharp guys. A kid from India who was very sharp. There was like a tight French guy to my left who... But oh, for a while, it was Sonny Patel, who's just been around a while. Did a bunch of battling with him, and it was rough. I mean, it was rough. What happened?
When was the Jacks Kings?
Yeah, that was really nice. But I got down to like 600 or 700K throughout like the first 4 hours, and then I took like a pretty close spot.
Sorry.
What?
You said the word spot and I perked up.
I took a pretty close spot versus this Jareth East kid who was just like very like loose, splashy, and got a shove through versus him, where I flatted an under the gun one open from middle position with ace jack of spades, and he squeezed the cutoff, so it goes like 65 call, 240 fold. I back shoved all in for between 900 and 950, and he folded.
That's a good shot.
Yeah, that was a good. It was a pretty good spot for me.
And what'd you have there?
Ace jack spades.
Oh, sweet.
And then
you just knew your splashy squeeze. It was just a very obvious squeeze.
Yeah, I ended up chipping up to like right around 2 million. Lost a 3-bet pot with jacks. Got to get back down to like 1.6, and then the blinds are 2K, 4K. Button opens. Small blind goes all in for a little over a million. It was like 26 blinds.
20, 40K right now, right?
Yep.
You said 2-4, my bad.
Yep. I have jacks in the small blind. Obviously, easy ISO. He somehow just has kings. I don't understand. Didn't make any sense. But, like, he should just probably shove there. I mean, if he knows I have jacks, obviously, shove all day. But he should shove there, like, never. But I bink a jack on the river.
Oh, wow.
And that was just like, I was kind of in shock after that. And then I really went on a nice heater. And that continued to get up to four. And then I just couldn't win a pot, and it was going to be really hard because the table like continued to continued to get worse. And the guys to my left who I thought were good were the ones accumulating chips, which made it even more difficult. I lost one pot versus Jareth East, where he opens, this is at 50K big blind, he opens under the gun one. I defend the big blind with ace queen off, comes queen 9-4, two diamonds, check call, turn five, check call, river deuce, check call is shoved for like two-thirds pot. It was like 850 into 1.2 or 1.3. He has aces.
Ugh.
I just, I mean, I can never fold.
No, especially when you under rep, yeah. Then just flat, you just flat out, yeah, big. No, it's, I mean.
There was, I forget what my ace was, but it didn't even matter. It definitely wasn't the ace of diamonds. Or maybe it was. Whatever, it doesn't even matter.
Going off of Jack 10 there, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like, I don't know if he shoves Jack 10, because the way people play now, and the way you're supposed to play is like you actually want to bluff hands that unblock those draws. So like something like, I think it was queen 9-4, two diamonds and a heart. So like ace king of clubs, ace king of, you know, black ace king off, ace king of clubs, ace king of spades. Those hands are actually on that run out make really nice bluffs, blocking the top pair and unblocking the Jack 10 and the diamond draws.
Okay, that's interesting. This is new to me.
In the end, you know, my hand is just way too strong.
Especially when you just flat it and he had no idea you had.
Yeah. So that was like I think he had around 1.4, 1.5. Doubled up David Coleman, ace king to queens. And then I had
how big was that pot?
He not very big. I mean, he had 12 blinds.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like one of those hands where like, wow, if I just like hold there, like everything's different.
No. It was just like consistently kind of losing those types of pots. And I mean, the spot's obviously standard. I will say, and this is not a shot at David Coleman because I like him a lot. He's a New Jersey guy and he's a good player, but he's like, you know, he has his Apple Watch that he's using to randomize. And he did, like, you know, he has to do it, I guess, to balance. But he did, like, take a look at his watch to like, look at some RNG and give me, like, the fake out before shoving, like, 12 lines with queens, which is just funny. But
yeah, it's funny.
And then I ended up doubling up. I actually got... It's funny how these spots, like, work out. And I'm sorry if I'm, like, rambling about stuff. The next level... Coleman and this Australian guy are blind on blind, and Coleman wins a big pot blind on blind. So this is at 60K big blind, and this Australian kid is left with like 22 blinds, and the very next hand I open ace queen and call his shove, and he has ace king. So like if he has 600K more or so, or 500K more, I think that's what he lost, like we just don't get it all in.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's just funny how those hands work out, because I think he heroed Coleman on the next hand and was on the previous hand and was wrong. And so yeah, you know, that's kind of where I ended. 60K big blind was the last level. Didn't really get much going. I think I maybe got a shove or two through, but ended with 1.1, and then it was just a grind. It was an absolute grind on day five.
What's your mindset
day six, sorry,
when, you know, I'm sure you had some goal in mind or something like, I want to finish this day with X number. You don't want to finish with 1.1. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You're
like,
staying in the moment.
No, but you don't. You're right. I didn't want to finish with 1.1. I would have loved to finish with 10. But
sure. Yeah. So, how's your mindset after that? Just day from hell. Like, you make it to the next day. Are you bummed? Are you just like,
no? I wasn't bummed. I wasn't bummed at all. It was what it was. Yeah. I didn't really feel like I made any errors or mistakes.
I mean, that's such like a foreign concept to me, to not have like emotional swings based on chip stack.
It's just survival. Like I felt like, yeah, it sucked to not have 4 million or have chipped up to even like five plus, but like that's just the way it works out sometimes. And I just accepted it and was ready to move on. You know, I was stalling a little bit at the end of the day. There was a pay jump. The payout structure was crazy. There was zero pay jump from like 165 people left to until 99.
Mm-hmm.
So I was stalling a little bit to try to make it and to try not to, you know, I tried to make the day a little bit slower by just taking 15, 20 seconds pre-flop. Nothing crazy, but yeah, that's what I ended with. And came in a day six with just...
How many people were left when you get to day six?
96.
Okay.
So we were at 80K big blind. So I was just ready to... I knew what the pay jumps were. I knew... I knew I was at the bottom of the pack, and I actually doubled up third hand.
Yeah, I believe you entered the day, I looked 91st out of 96, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, makes sense. And I doubled up third hand, kings versus fours, button versus small blind. And then...
That one's got to feel good. When
that felt great,
short,
yeah.
You snap double, you're like, all right, now we're...
I had a little breathing room. The table was very good. Chance was at the table. He did kind of wreck me, though. I mean... I had like 1 point, I think I had 1.8 or 1.7, and I open ace king of diamonds for min into his big blind. He defends, he leads 4, 5, 6, two diamonds for a third, which is pretty good. I did just call. You could like.
You didn't think about shoving?
No, I had too much to shove. I'm shoving like almost 2x pot if I shove.
It looks so draw. Yeah, if you shove.
Well, it doesn't
that.
Even matter. It's like he's a good player. I know that he's very capable of having value and bluffs. He is like a little spewy, it seems like, so maybe he's trending a little bit more towards bluffs, but that's good for me on like diamond runouts.
So you call the flop one.
So I call, yeah. What did I say? It was
6-5-4.
I think it was Yep, turn was a 3.
Oh,
so you know it's just a turn. He's just gonna keep betting. I mean,
yeah,
even
it's
if
it's horrible for you, you're yeah. open pre, and so he doesn't have that stuff in your ranges.
Yeah, I mean it's very
this is where I'm confused.
I could certainly have a 7. It's like it's not like I opened off of 12 blinds. Like I'm still opening off of 24 blinds or so. There are some 7s, but without a doubt he has more deuces and more 7s. That's not even a question.
But do you think about being aggressive here and having the flush draws just like kind of your backup?
No, because I would never shove a 7 on the turn. That would be a huge mistake. Because you want him to keep bluffing when he doesn't have a 7. Mm-hmm. And where it's short, my stack, the effective stack is short enough where he's usually going to go all in. Like, he ended up betting half pot on the turn. I think it was 360 or 380.
And you just called?
And yeah, I just have like a pure continue. I'm not going to fold if I make a pair. I'm just not. River was a brick. I think it was a jack of clubs, and he shoves. I fold. So then I was short again, and that's where I stayed. that's where I stayed for the rest of the day. I wish I had more exciting hands to tell, but it was really about survival and try to make the ladder, and yeah, I did, and that's. You know, that's all you can really
last
ask for.
Last hand, you shove king jack on a...
Yeah, yeah. They actually reported the positions wrong. I mean, I was in the big blind, but this Brazilian kid was like, once I see that you open ace deuce off under the gun nine handed, you're not really going to get my respect when you open the hijack. I don't know if the reporter saw that the five seat was didn't have, he was it was an empty seat, but he opened the hijack to 240. And, you know, it's close. It's definitely close. I can certainly call. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think I have enough fold equity to shove that hand. And he had king-queen and came queen-high. That was it. Good run.
Here, here.
That was actually very cool. That was very, very cool, by the way. I hope that resonates with everybody who's listening.
Oh, that was what I was hoping for before we came in here. Yeah. That was to a T, just like taking it inside.
I did laugh at your text, by the way, Ben, when you texted like, yeah, maybe Jay can talk about his WSOP run. I was like, yeah, not a bad idea, Ben.
we'll talk about our day and a half.
Yeah, I'll talk about my 6 hours. Yeah.
I will say, I forgot to say this on... And I wanted to take a picture, but the hand went very quickly. But on day three, I did defend the big blind 4-3 of spades.
Shout out to all our listeners, by the way, and everybody who follows us on Twitter. Been fucking hysterical, the 4-3
oh, yeah.
spades tweets.
I don't know who.
I think I'm going to call it the Nate dog.
I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the dog.
One guy tweeted, like, you realize, like, just this is all you're going to get tweeted
you gotta,
at.
You got to own this
for the rest of your life. Just people sending you 4-3 saying, yeah, well deserved. Which, by the way, the guy who plays 3-deuce off is somehow a hero, and I'm somehow the worst player in the world for playing
because he got away with it.
Yeah, I know. That's how it works.
Plus,
all he has to do is fold, and then none of this is a thing.
But also different spots.
No.
You play 4-3 like that.
Don't spot shame me.
No. You play 4-3 like that on day 7 featured table, you're going to get a lot more ballsy reactions than day 1.
Okay.
Fucking fair. Hour left to go.
Fair,
you know
fair,
that.
Fair. That's fair. Fair, fair, yeah. fair.
No,
fair,
good point.
Fair. Yes, I concede.
Ben Mintz, how'd you go out?
So, I think mine. I want to actually.
Wait, hold that real quick. That guy was a legend. The 3-deuce off guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rigby, Nicholas Rigby. He's a stoolie, by the way. He fought like. He tweeted at us.
A pizza review, right?
He volunteered to do a pizza review. I'm not sure I have that clout to get you a pizza review, but you're awesome. If someone knows him or if you're listening, you're the GOAT. That was so fun to watch.
Yeah, super entertaining.
And if people
to watch a ton of it because I was playing.
What it is in Pittsburgh. This is a Pittsburgh thing. He's a Pittsburgh guy, blue collar, always been blue collar. They play 3-deuce off the same way people play the 7-deuce game.
The diaper.
And they call it the diaper.
The dirty diaper.
The dirty diaper. I think 3-deuce suited is the diaper and 3-deuce off is the dirty diaper. And they play it in their home games. You know, and you know, you show 3-deuce and the table pays you if you win the hand with it. This dude is playing for $8 million on day 6 of the main, and he's still playing the dirty diaper game. Nobody at the table's playing it, obviously.
Well, you
and
know,
he's just still playing it.
He probably has $20 side bets with his boys that if he shows it on TV, he gets the pot.
Unbelievable. Balls on this guy.
Well, not only that, I mean, I think it was maybe day 5, there was a hand reported where he 3-bets 3-deuce.
Yep. I have it if you want me to read it.
And there's a cold 4-bet shove and then a reshove and he calls it off. Or he didn't call it off his own tournament, but
he got in three ways with 3-deuce off and then later in the day.
Solid value. Please tell me he didn't win.
He was live.
He didn't. Okay. No. And then later in the day
Was aces versus jacks versus 3-deuce, right?
Yes. And so
I think he was suited, to be fair.
So they report that he just had the diaper that hand. And then later in the day, there's a raise to 80K in middle position, and Nick Rigby 3-bets to 185 from the cutoff. John Song 4-bet shoved all in for 655 from the big blind. Original raiser folds. Rigby calls 3-deuce off. loses that hand as well to ace king. He did flop a gutter though, which is pretty funny.
I want to ask Jake about my bust hand specifically, because I've been on the it seems like an obvious shove spot, but then maybe it's too obvious that Nate knew it and I
shouldn't
shove.
Not me.
Okay. I
remember this.
Okay, so I lose a big pot with I slow played aces right before dinner break day 2. I just flatted out the big blind because the dude basically I knew if I 3-bet it looked so strong I'd lose him, and I was shorter stack, so I was trying to maximize it. Whatever. Came 3 hearts, and there was dude donk led, and I just called, and I was going to check shove any weak turn, and the turn brought a 4th heart, and so I folded because that ace is no heart. Mm-hmm. So at dinner break, I have like 28K at 8-1600, and there's like second hand off of dinner. It gets folded Nate Silver, who I did see bomb off 9 high on the river with nothing once, and he was playing pretty ag. I mean, I wasn't saying he was a maniac, but he definitely knows what's up.
Okay.
So this is where I think I level myself or it was standard. I really want to hear Jake's thoughts. Big blind sitting out.
Right.
Which is always a weird dynamic because it means it's more obvious to steal, but that person that's raising also knows it looks more obvious to steal.
Right.
So maybe they have a hand more than you think. And he opened 35 or 3,600.
From where?
From cutoff.
And you shoved ace 5.
Shoved ace 5.
That's a mandatory shove.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Without a doubt.
I had 27K.
It's actually not that big of a, like, that crazy of a dynamic. It's exactly what you said. It's very straightforward. It's like there's free money in the middle.
Yeah.
And there's a shorter stack in the small blind. So, like, you know, if the small blind's a little deeper, then they can close the action and basically play the big blind. But,
yeah, that's what I thought, too. I just thought if he's a good player, he's opening 8-7 there, you know?
Yeah, he's opening so wide.
Yeah, I don't even think it's...
I thought that, too.
And he's also calling off so wide. Like, he's probably just flicking in, like, just, like, a
King
lot
Jack
of random
queen.
Shit.
I don't know. I just thought...
I think he'll probably call, like queen jack suited or something.
Yeah. I thought it was standard, but sometimes I know that, like, you know, when somebody's sitting out, it looks so obvious you're going to steal that you want to have a higher part of your range. That was my only debate.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's always great to have the highest part of your range.
Yeah, but what's his alternative?
Especially when ranges are so wide. But, like, yeah, that's what he wants. But, like, he's still going to open his, like, whatever he thinks he should open there, which is probably pretty wide.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was bad.
I would love to have aces every time I open the button, but you know, it's just not how it goes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't feel terrible about it. I mean,
I know he had kings, and it obviously sucks, and it's easy to be results oriented, but I think that's
it. Yeah. But I mean, there's also a point when you get down to have 28K, I got to get a reshove there.
Yeah, no, it's hard to think of a better spot.
There's 7,500 in the pot. When I have 27, 28K, I can chip up my stack 28% getting it through. So yeah. Okay, cool. I didn't think it was bad. It just like felt like it looked bad, you know.
No, it's you're fine.
Well, better luck next year then, boys.
Yeah.
Believe
it. We the three of us could not have accomplished less.
that's a total fact.
I got a couple good memes out of it. Smitty got TV time.
Yeah.
So I guess
Smitty made a great fold.
That's been my main event story from this year. And I hate to sound like negative Nancy, woe is me, fuck me right up the dick. But twice day one, I had kings versus aces and got out of it minimally because an ace was on the flop. And for some reason, I didn't get fucking pushed all in pre-flop. I had that king nine against kings, and I still survived with starting stack. Day two.
Hell yeah.
Day two, and this is where I realized a major fault in my game. Table was pretty aggressive, and I was getting stuck with a lot of fours and sixes.
Pairs, you mean?
Yeah. Little pairs that weren't smashing at all. Like, obviously. And I just was left with my dick.
You're bleeding chips, basically.
Yeah, and I got
hands that are hard to play after the flop at aggressive tables.
Exactly. And I got down to 30K, which was 30 big blinds at the time. And the guy to the left of me twice three-bet me when I had fours and sixes. And he was playing every hand. He was, like, 400K deep. And he's an older guy. He didn't seem like he'd sling it, but he was slinging it. And the showdowns that I saw, 10-2, two pair, of course, cracking aces, and 5-3,
download, cracking rate, subscribe.
Shout out.
Yeah.
3T, promo code aces.
So with 30K from under the gun, I make it 2.5. He re-raises naturally to like 7.
Mm-hmm.
I call. And
you have ace queen, right?
Yeah, I have ace queen. Flop comes out, queen 9-7.
Yeah, there's no
check. He shoves.
He just shoves.
He's open shoves.
Yeah, he shoves. Well, I had 23 left,
but still, I almost 14. Feel like he's gonna induce with kings.
Yeah, right. It was getting in. Anyway.
I mean, whatever. Yeah, like
that. You're just trapped in on that. If that dude's playing like that,
it's maybe like slightly marginal preflop with those positions, but. It sounds like he was enough of a wild card where
there's nothing else for you.
No. You're,
it just sucks. Yeah. I would like nice little, you know, ace there.
I know.
On the top.
That would have been nice.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
I would say definitely two of us played our bust out hands pretty well.
But
myself and you.
Yep, me and Nate.
It's also relative. I would.
You guys suck.
Well, that's. You're not wrong. I do suck.
No, but here's the thing.
I would talk to a couple of people, and like your king. That's why I remember your king queen flop when you flopped a straight day two. I'm just like, this motherfucker. He doesn't need these runs, and he's getting them. But you look at it conversely. You're minimizing your losses and playing well. I'm dicking away my losses playing these low value hands. So when I'm put in the position where I need to get lucky, or else I'm not surviving. Right.
If you had 60K, then maybe you don't end up going broke. Right.
I talked to Smitty about this a lot, and I'd like your opinion on it, Jake, or like maybe some wisdom from you. I always say like it's not the big hands like so much with you. It's like all those in-between hands that get you into the position to make those big hands.
Exactly. Like 100%.
Like, knowing just the spots to three-bet in, you know, light, and the spots where you're check-raising, like, just blank flops, you know, just like
it's the definition of just, luck equals preparation plus opportunity.
And that's the stuff that I think is like more like you're gonna get these cooler hands, you know.
Well, it's even like
to win the tournament, you need your jacks to beat kings or, you know, win a flip here and there.
Right,
it's
right.
All those other grinding in between hands that add up to get you into the position to win.
Yeah,
and like that's what I think everybody is obviously like winning flips is important, but.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
All those hands in between are.
Oh yeah, I can't even tell you there were a lot of big pots, especially on my day five table. But that table was just like so rock solid, and there were mostly very good players there. That there were a ton of small ball pots being played in single raise pots, you know, different positions versus big blind, and the people that are playing those hands from the big blind well, and the people that are playing their. You know, as the initial raiser, well, you just like those hands really add up,
especially in 2 hour levels.
Yeah, at a tough table where the margins are really thin, and your mistakes are going to they're going to really hurt you, and you really want to like you just had to like play your A game.
Yeah.
At that table, you just did.
Yeah, that's the stuff, you know, that I'm going to work on. That whole playing the A game thing. You can play well for, I know, I'd say out of like the 10 hours, I played well for about 7.5, and then I blew up on one hand.
Yeah.
And what's unfortunate is like it gets reported by Poker News and like I'm.
Oh, we haven't mentioned this. The write up on my bust out was
let me pull that up.
Did you guys see this?
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
I'm 3,000 miles away, yeah. Just taking fucking shots to the head from Poker
just
News.
Sniped.
So like the. Jake just, where is it? Let me find it. God, oh, I thought I posted it. Oh, it's on the Twitter. Okay. Everybody go follow us on Twitter at Cracking Aces.
And buy our new gear, too. We got sweet new merch.
Yeah, the Barstool Poker stuff. It's clean. It's awesome. I love it. It looks great. So that's in the Barstool store. We have our own little Cracking Aces section in the Barstool store right now. Okay, got it. So Jake's bust out hand, King Jack versus King Queen. It goes, Tool is drawing dead, heading to the Three of Hearts River, ending the deep main event run for the co-host of Barstool Sports, Cracking Aces podcast. That's where it should have ended. He goes on to say...
So good.
Tool fared significantly better than his co-host, Eric Nathan, who was eliminated the last level of day 1D after failing to get a bluff through.
And he linked the hand.
And he links the hand just for max pain.
Who wrote that?
I don't know. My biggest enemy?
Was it on Poker News, too?
Poker News,
yeah. It was on WSOP.com.
Page Views 101.
Oh,
he knows what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Just... Let me type this additional little sentence just for maximum pain. When I saw that, I gasped. I was like, whoa.
Oh, my God. I was cracking. I saw that like
it's better not
shortly
to
after
at all.
I busted.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, I give that guy, like, that's Eric Nathan one. Yeah, like, yeah, that is. That
right.
is.
That's exactly, yeah. That's one of your tricks with the ball.
I've built a career off of what he did. Very, very funny.
I want to give a quick shout out to Brent Hanks and Jeff Platt of Poker Go. I had a lot of fun chilling at the tailgate.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Jeff's cool. I agree.
I really really enjoyed getting to hang
the
out there.
The amount got of anger that the dog had towards Brent Hanks when I made the feature table and Nate didn't.
It's not a you thing. It's a Brent Hanks thing.
I know,
it's the
but
way
it's
he,
not his
do you realize
decision.
This is four straight years of
but
him
I, ha- I also had like two
no,
pros
that,
at the
no,
table.
No, that's why it's not a you thing. It's just a... Four straight years of Brent telling me, yeah, we're going to get you on the table, we're going to get you on the table, and then just not putting me on the TV table four straight years.
Well, maybe if you last said a date.
I know. That's well,
gold, value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine
hey,
that.
What do we have?
Imagine that.
We have like 7 months.
Oh, I can't. I'm going to start
seven
counting,
and a half months?
Counting the number of times he lies to me in the next 7 months. So when when we get
at least
out
we
there.
Get the short turnaround.
Yeah,
are you
yeah.
so? I mean, you're obviously just grinding hard. Do you have any poker plans at the end of the year? You just can do the holiday
oh,
thing.
Oh no, God no.
Absolutely not.
No, I mean I'll probably I'll definitely play online, but no travel plans. But you know, I'll try to make some like. Plan some trips for early in the year next year. That's for sure.
Where do you want to go?
I don't know. I haven't looked at anything. Aussie Millions?
Yeah. I'd love to go.
Yeah.
Put me in it. You're rich.
I can't wait to get... This just kind of... Even though usually you bust the main, the last thing you want to do is play more poker. But like after COVID and just not being able to play the last couple of years. I mean, I'm just, I can't, yeah.
Oh, it's all I want to do.
Yeah, and I'm going to crank up online a good bit in New Jersey in the coming months, and then really just do football content through the end of football season, and then I'm going to hit the road once football's over.
Yeah, awesome.
I got backers right now, too, that'll put me in stuff, and so I'm kind of just wanting, I got the fire within back on it. It's exciting to play, even if I did it poorly.
Yeah, we'll have to do another podcast trip somewhere.
That'd be fun. Just before we go, there is a final table of the main event that's about to run. The big name at the table, Corey Altemir, German, just like super high roller crusher. He has 175 bigs. The next highest is 106. This guy, George Holmes.
They said George Holmes, though, the day before the final table was down to one blind.
Was that him?
Yeah.
That's that same guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like early that day, just
I didn't realize that was the same guy.
Chips, yep.
Oh, shit. That's amazing. So he has 106 bigs. Chase Bianchi, he has 18. I think he either listens to the show, he follows us on Twitter at least. I think I've DM'd with him a couple times.
Yep.
Seems like a really genuinely great, awesome human.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other guys. So then there's the Argentinian
rapper.
Rapper.
Yeah.
Papa MC. That's his name. He is a billion followers across all platforms, and Smitty was saying he's just like he doesn't even rap anymore, or like he's full time.
I just looked at his Instagram account that has like 3 million followers, and it's just poker. Well, because I was interested, the way the Poker News described him was some people may know him as this. I was like, oh, is this like jet ski just playing poker out there? And nope, he's the second most famous person in Argentina, third most outside of Messi and the Pope.
Yeah, it's wild, and just I do think it would be like as if Pitbull was like, yeah, I'm just like a poker.
I'm pulling for him because that would be great for poker to have him win.
The Argentinian
poker is huge down in South America.
The Latin American Poker Tour, remember, was a big thing.
Yeah. I'm pulling for Chase because he has shown me attention. And that's generally how
that's
I operate.
All it takes, yeah.
And, I mean, Corey Altemir doesn't need the money. Like, that guy just...
Is that dropping today?
They play nine down to five today, and then five down to winner tomorrow.
So no matter...
Five to winner.
Yeah.
So no matter what, they go down to five in an hour today. They're waiting till tomorrow.
Yeah, I believe. I think it's a TV.
They just
thing.
Do it for the TV. Yeah.
And Chase Cornith, another
Chance.
Friend. What did I say? Chase.
Yeah.
Chase Young on the mind. Chance Cornith. Another deep run. He's crushing. Mm-hmm. I think I said on
that sweat he had with pocket tens.
So
oh
cool.
My
did
God.
You, did you see that hand?
I saw
No.
Three way all in, double elimination, and Chance is in the big blind, and there's like two shoves ahead of him. He looks down at tens. He calls, and then the flop came.
He's up against ace nine of spades and ace queen of hearts, and it came king 10-4.
Two hearts.
Two spades, and the turn came a heart.
Oh, my God. Spades and two hearts?
Yeah, so it was two spades, two hearts, and the river just came up
and
six diamonds.
And a gut shot straight. And
Wow. Oh, yeah, and the ace-queen flopped a gut shot, turned another heart for the flush draw.
Damn, sick hold.
Very cool. And then six of diamond just blanked off on
that's awesome.
On the river. So great run by Chance.
You got 12th, right?
I think maybe 15th or something. But
he got 16th.
16th, yeah.
Which sucks because I think there's a pay jump at 15.
And he ended up getting in ace king versus aces for his
hand.
Yeah, that was his busto hand.
I didn't even
and
realize
it came in ace high flop, so it was getting all in anyway. If you didn't get in pre.
Yeah.
So, there's still events running, so WSP's not over. There's a the 10K Super Turbo Bounty.
Shout out Barth Melius, New Orleans, 207, going to the final table.
That matter.
The College World Series at Tulane.
Actually?
Oh, nice.
That's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Wait, he's at the 10K.
The Super Turbo, he's 207, going to the final table.
Barth Melius?
Yep, that's him.
That's your boy?
Yeah, he was rocking at the Rolling Stones like a couple rows over from
really?
Me the other night.
Barth is such a baller name. Like, hi, my name's Barth. That's so sick.
Good dude.
I've never met him.
He lives on St. Thomas Island. Barth. He like moved from New Orleans and just owns a bar in the Caribbean and just chills.
Sweet.
What a dream.
That's the life.
We can go see him anytime.
What a dream. Thomas
sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at his Instagram. What's up with
Twist
New Orleans people? You guys are so proud of being from Barth Nola. Like, you guys are so proud of being from New
his
Orleans.
His family's like old school.
Are you a 504 boy?
I have a 504 number.
I was talking about like the rap group.
Oh,
you know them, like
Wobble
Lil Wayne.
Yeah. I didn't know the rap. Yeah,
I assumed you did.
Yeah. Lil Wayne's a Green Bay Packer fan from New Orleans, which bothers me.
That's
they don't
weird.
Like the Saints. That always hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it's kind of a miss on him too. Like he's just rep the fucking New Orleans team, make a ton of money off doing that. Yeah. Also, you have Jenny Temes. God, how do you say his name? Yeah, I hadn't seen that name in years.
Me either.
And now he's just at the final table of this 10K.
Atomos from back in the day.
Yeah. Like, where did he come from?
Just, he's been around.
No, I'm saying like I hadn't seen his name forever. Now he's just at this final table of the 10K.
Yeah, who knows?
I just thought it was cool to see his name again.
Yeah, for sure.
And then do we have anything else going on?
No, I did want to thank everybody for...
I'll cut this part.
Why?
No, I'm joking.
For all the support.
Well, we want to thank you, Jake.
You guys, everyone on Twitter, Instagram, it was overwhelming in a very good way. So thank you, and I'm hoping that next main event or coming main events, I'll be able to go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, 67th is pretty good.
It's good, yeah. Well, next year, I don't know, I might have to tighten up around the bubble. I'm chasing some sort of history. The record is 5 straight.
Was that Ronnie?
With Christian and Ronnie, yeah.
Christian had 5 straight.
Yep.
Is he still in something right now?
Is that really the actual record?
Yeah.
All right.
So you could tie it. And
oh, I think someone else this year may have cashed 5 straight too, but...
we'll get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. But yeah, the record is 5.
I've gone day 3, day 2, day 2, day 1. So...
Four straight without making it day 4. That's not a record, but it's a number.
I'm on pace to not play.
day 2, deep day 3.
Yeah, you need to not play next year so you can
start
say
it
that.
Over again.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Reset it.
Day 2, deep day 3, early day 1, too early day 1, and then early day 2.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't make day 2 of the main event, if you can believe this, until my third or fourth year playing it.
Asher,
if you can believe it.
Asher Kniff, he did an interview with Jeff Platt, and he was 0-9 before this year.
Yeah.
Just cashing.
Right.
0-9 cashing. So, you know, it happens to all of us.
It does. I think it was my third year I made day 2. So I...
Sicko.
I mean, I definitely just, like, played terribly and spewed it off when I was young.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. That's Ben Mintz. That's Jake Toole. Do I have to change your intro now? No, I'll just keep it 34th. It's just a better number. Right?
Cash 4 times in a row in the main. Yeah. It's almost the intro, though, you know?
Cash 4
times. Yeah, maybe. Let me hold on to that one until it doesn't exist anymore.
That's Smitty. I'm Nate. This is Cracking Aces, episode what, Ben?
I think 110 or 111.
You're pretty good at that. I don't know. I think it's
110.
110?
I think it's 110.
It's episode 110. Subscribe, download, buy merch. It's all in the store. Give us a little review. Make it funny. Make fun of the 4-3 of spades. That makes me feel good. And we will be back next week. Smitty, take us home.
Jam.